Hear now God's word to us from the great day of Pentecost, our scripture this morning from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided languages of, tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd, gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked all those who were speaking, "Are you not Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages, we have heard them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friends, this good news is the gospel of God for us, the people of God, the grace of God's mercy. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, here we are. Fill us with new hope. Speak to us of new grace. Heal us with new power. Breathe on us, O breath of God, breathe on us, and fill us now with life anew. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why can't we all do better at getting along? These days, seems like we have lots of trouble with that. Can't we all just get along? It was my first pastorate back in America after coming back from Japan. And I'd been in there in that Southside Virginia church for about maybe 8 months, and it was Advent. And we were all so excited, so pumped. The Presbyterian women were all so busy stitching and sewing and creating beautifully white chrismons, the chrismon decorations for our first chrismon tree in that church. It was all so wonderful. Couldn't believe it until this one day. Then I couldn't believe what happened next. Two women in turn. I'll call them Deborah and Christy. That's not their real names. They came up to me, beaming, both of them, showing me the crown that each of them had made to go on the top of that tree. "Don't you think mine is so beautiful? Don't you think it's so special? Oh, Pastor, what do you think?" This leaving all the rest of the Presbyterian women aghast. I mean, there's only room for one on top of the tree. Now, whose would it be? Christie's? Deborah's? How do we decide? And then They all looked around at me, the new pastor. Jim, you can decide. Yikes. I don't know what we did. We got through it some way, somehow. But what I do remember and never can forget is the backstory of all the animosity, the bitterness, the at each other contentiousness between those two women. It had gone on years and years and years. So I got a young whippersnapper preacher like me. I got the idea, I'm going to preach a sermon about forgiveness and forbearance and grace. Didn't work. Every time coming out of the church in the line, shaking people's hands, one of those women would come up to me. I so hope she heard that this time. And the other one would say, you think she got it? Why couldn't they all get along? Why can't we sometimes? Can we? Could we? Should we? Will we? We tread water in so many ways in harsh times today. Brené Brown is an Episcopal graduate school professor, and she was writing a book called Braving the Wilderness. And to get that book together, she did a lot of research, spending hours interviewing people, person after person, about their desires to belong and be accepted and be heard and be listened to. And they all kept saying the same thing about what's now an us versus them culture, them versus me culture, saying the only thing that they thought binds people together anymore seems to be shared fear and disdain, not common humanity or trust or respect. They just felt more and more afraid to speak up and say what they think or disagree, even talk with their friends, their colleagues, relatives, their family. You experienced any of that? I don't much like it. Brown found in her research that many ways the only thing seeming to bind people together anymore is shared disdain. Another book, The Big Sort, she refers to a man named Bill Bishop laments how we don't seem to even be able to talk to each other anymore. Even when we're speaking English, we don't hear each other. As people, he writes, seek out social settings they prefer. Choose the group that makes them feel the most comfortable, the most safe. Our culture growing more and more segregated emotionally, politically. And the things that ought to come together to give us the best wisdom, that doesn't seem possible anymore, leaving us with balkanized communities whose inhabitants look at each other with suspicion and no trust. Things so polarized. Even our elections anymore, not so much about choices and policies, but bitter choices between ways of life. Guess what? He wrote that book not back in 2009. I wonder what he would say today. Why can't we all get along? Reminds me of this old magazine cartoon I saw in a doctor's office. Two dogs. One dog says to the other, you know, we dogs, we got to stick together. It's not enough that we canines succeed. No, the cats also must fail. Lose. Why can't people all get along? Just love each other. Listen, hear one another, understand, reconcile, get along better. Could we? Will we? Way back in Bible times, did they? You know the story, Pentecost. It's kind of long. You have to spend some time going over pronouncing all those names right. But Barbara Brown Taylor does a wonderful job of explaining it. Let me say to you and share what she has to say. Listen to her words. There they all were, Jesus' followers. About 120 of them, Luke says, all moping around wondering what they're going to do now that Jesus is gone, when suddenly they hear what sounds like a holy hurricane blowing their way, and before they can defend themselves, that mighty wind blows through the entire house, striking sparks that burst into flames right above their heads. And they're filled with it, every single one of them filled up to the gills with God's own breath. Then something clamps down on them, and the air goes out of them in languages they don't even know they knew. It's like a room full of bagpipes all going at once. They set up such a racket that they draw a crowd, people from all over the world who are in Jerusalem for the annual 50th day festival after Pentecost. They start leaning in through the windows and pushing in through the doors, so surprised to understand, hear someone speaking their own language so far away from home. Parthians sticking their heads in through the door, expecting to hear other Parthians. Libyans looking around for other Libyans. But what they saw instead was this bunch of Galileans, rural backwoods types, dressed in the equivalent of first century overalls, spouting off like PhDs in Middle Eastern languages. And before the day is over, the church has grown from 120 to more than 3,000 people. Shy people becoming bold, scared people becoming gutsy, lost people finding a new, sure sense of direction and hope. It was a miracle. Miracle. But what was the for real miracle of Pentecost? What do you think? Lots of people might say it was those tongues of fire, all that heated passion, heating people up and energizing them, filling them with life and speaking, or maybe it was the speaking in tongues, others say. The glossolalia, Pentecostal, mouths roaring alive with the Spirit, holiness preaching, going on and on, so loud they could not and they would not ever shut up. Or was it that huge swarming crowd breaking down the doors, one day's incredible tenfold increase in the church's membership? I don't know many preachers who've had experience like that. Or was it something maybe else? Was it perhaps understanding, communicating, listening, hearing, being heard, the ancient long-time dividing walls of hostility, fear and pride and antagonism, jealousy, all those old grudges finally coming down? That they might all be one, preached Jesus, speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper, as we had in our scripture last week from John, his heart pleading that they may all be one. Or was it Christ bringing us his peace, breaking down the dividing walls and barriers that separate us and keep us enemies, as Paul exhorts in his letter to the Ephesians? Or was it the wind, the way the wind, God's Spirit, moved and was moving, blowing over the deep, formless void of the bottomless waters, the total ancient chaos, to bring light, creation, new beginnings out of all the old chaos at the very start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What it is, it's the lost. God's so at a loss, people finding clear, sure, abiding, new sense of direction, and hope. Hope. Why can't we all get along? There's so much, I think, to proclaim in this story of Pentecost here in May of 2026, when many seem to be struggling even to believe in better days ahead, to believe in a future where light overcomes darkness, to believe in a day we will find peace, believe in a time we'll learn once again to talk to each other, believe in a day we'll no longer have such loneliness, isolation, or fear. The biblical scholarship is very clear that hard-nosed lines of human detachment and division were just as bitter way back in Bible times, that first Pentecostal day, even as now. The world's division slicing through the New Testament. In fact, if there was anything a more divided world than ours. Three great divisions come up through the Bible in the New Testament. The divide between Jew and Gentile. The divide between male and female, slave and free, all that delineating what was what, who is who you are, who you can be, what your place is going to be in society, dictating who you can marry, who you could talk to, who you could eat with, who you could even sit with, whom you could touch. New Testament scholar Marcus Borg describing it this way, as a world so intense with sharp political boundaries between the pure and the ones impure, the ones acceptable and the ones not acceptable, the righteous and the sinners, the whole and the not whole. Why couldn't they all get along, those people, back then? Could they get along ever? Till then, one day. One day, all of a sudden, the 50th day after Pentecost, it all blew up. It just blew up. Pentecost. And God's Spirit came, writes New Testament theologian Jürgen Moltmann. People spoke and people heard. What they heard that day, what they heard was the love of God, the community of God, the Spirit of God that would always be with them to inspire, to empower, to lift them up even when they failed, when they fell, to comfort them when they grieve, to bind up their wounds, to love them forever. A miracle. Miracle. What was, is, could even be the real miracle of Pentecost for us, you and me? Could it even happen here? Again, take a deep breath. That's what they all did that long ago day, gathered crammed into that stifling hot May room. The Spirit blew. They all breathed it in, inhaled the miracle. Spirit. Maybe you'll remember how this past couple of years here at this church, here at White Memorial, we've talked a lot about inhale, exhale. Do you remember? Take a breath in, receive the mercy, the forgiveness, the wholeness, the peace, the perspective, the guidance, the strength, the grace of God into our lives, and then breathe it all back out through the mercy, forgiveness, perspective, grace, the mercy of God in our lives for others. Some preachers I've read call this, they describe it as to conspire, to breathe together. Con, meaning with, spire as in respiration, or maybe that might be better said, not spire as in breathe, but spirit. Con, spirit. Take a deep breath. Now blow it out again. There together, we've just launched a conspiracy to be filled by the same Spirit, enlivened by the same wind. Suppose that might could happen here? The good news is that the wind of God is blowing, writes Walter Brueggemann. It may come as a breeze to warm you. It may come as a certain sudden burst to ruffle you. It may be a storm that blows us all to a brand new place. Whatever it is, pay attention. Pay attention. Watch for the wind. Why can't we all get along? Listen, listen. We Christians proclaim a different message in the face of so much of the messages going out in our culture, what we hear preaching in the culture right now. Messages that are meant to turn us against one another. Sermons that are distorting our views, that are breaking our hearts. Sermons that are ruining the precious days of our lives. Here, this Pentecost, you and I, we sing a different kind of tune. One of joy, one of possibility, of unity, of resurrection. So take a deep breath. In, out, breathe the wind of God's blowing. Take it in, resurrection, resurrection. Again, Barbara Brown Taylor shares a wonderful little parable. Listen to what she says. Say you've been in a bad mood for the whole last year. It seems as if you're doing, all you're doing is moving bricks from one pile to another pile. At work, at home, in your sleep, in your dreams, just moving bricks until you don't know whether it's day or night anymore, until one of those nights while you're lying awake on your bed, you hear one bird sing outside. Just one. Why is that bird singing in the middle of the night, you wonder? And then you realize it's not the middle of the night anymore. It's the edge of morning. The bird chirps again, and something inside you starts to soften. You take a deep breath for the first time in months, and your chest opens up. You get a second wind. You can call that anything you want. I call it the Holy Spirit. So take a deep breath in, out. God's wind, potent, powerful, provocative. God's wind is blowing. Receive. Receive the sure hope that will always be with us. The hope to empower, inspire, lift us when we fail, when we fall, when we comfort us, even when we grieve and bind up all our wounds, loving us forever. The miracle, powerful, potent, provocative. Why can't we all get along? Amen. And amen. Back when that controversy happened with Christy and Deborah, I didn't know what to do. Would you know what to do? I didn't know what to do. So I went to the presbytery office and asked for help. So you want to be a pastor, they said. Then they said, you need to ask for the Holy Spirit. So take a deep breath in, out. God's wind, potent, powerful, wise, provocative. God's wind is blowing. Receive, receive the sure hope, mercy, grace, strength, inspiration, healing, the lifting up when we fail or fall, binding up all our wounds, the love that lasts forever. So please join with me as we say together, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we live by the Spirit and go with that peace. Amen.